The words were written about 3,000 years ago, but you better believe they speak to us powerfully today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hello and welcome to The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. Are you ready to get into the Word of God with me today? Are you ready to get into the Psalms? Are you ready to dig into Psalm 37? Yeah, an amazing psalm, an extraordinary psalm. We're going to dig into it together today on The Line of Fire. Sit back and enjoy the broadcast. If you haven't been following latest articles, latest videos, things that we've been posting, and it's constant. There's new material every day, virtually every day of the week on the website. Go to Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown. Click on latest article, latest audio, latest video. I had a blog post last week. I don't do as many blog posts because I'm writing so many articles and other social media posts, but a full-length letter to a gay critic. I think you'll find that really helpful as well. It's a recent blog post. But before we get into Psalm 37, a neat story from Israel, from Jewish believers there in Israel. So a week ago today, a week ago Tuesday, was the ninth day of the month of Av, Tisha B'Av. And it normally occurs around August and on the calendar that we use. And it's a day of fasting. It's a day of lamenting. It's a day when religious Jews remember the destruction of the first temple, the second temple, and other horrific events in Jewish history, many of which happened on this day or near this day. So they've been put together on this day for mourning and lamentation. And this Jewish believer who had really stayed silent in the midst of the conflict of Israel's conflict with Hamas said that last Tuesday, ninth of Av, day of fasting, lamenting, here's what happens. He said that he and his wife in the afternoon went for a walk and sat on a hill overlooking the old city. And he said, just below us, a group of Jewish youth and their teacher also sat on the grass and began singing songs of lament from Lamentations and Jeremiah. And he says, off to our left were a Christian Arab bride and groom posing for wedding pictures in the beautiful light of sunset. As the youth kept singing, the wedding couple and their photographers kept moving and posing closer to the youth. The youth came to a verse that calls for the sounds of joy and gladness and for the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride to return to Jerusalem, because the Jewish people would lament with the destruction of the temple or their exile. And now they're in exile, and now back in the land, there's no sound of rejoicing. And the sound of rejoicing was epitomized in the joy of wedding and children playing in the streets and old men walking with their sticks just to say normal life and stable life has returned. So here it is, as they're singing these verses from Jeremiah, calling for the sound of joy and gladness, for the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride to return to Jerusalem. Here's a Christian Arab couple. They're getting married, posing for their wedding pictures, and they're getting closer and closer to this group. The teacher, Jewish teacher, pointed out the wedding couple to the youth, and the couple came over to take pictures with the singing youth behind them. It was a profoundly beautiful moment. Oh, may it be a picture of the future. May it be a picture of the future with Jews and Arabs rejoicing side by side, worshiping the God of Israel, revealed through Jesus the Messiah. May that day come quickly. Your prayers make a difference, and we continue to pray for and stand with our persecuted brothers and sisters around the world. We come back, we are diving into Psalm 37. This is not primarily a teaching broadcast, it's live call-in, but we do a lot of teaching in the midst of it, and today is one of those days. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Are you ready to get into Psalm 37 with me? You know, we cover so much heavy news here on The Line of Fire, and this is stuff happening in the world. So many social issues, cultural issues. It's intense, but always with hope, always with courage, always with faith, always with confidence in God. This is one of those days we're going to drink in the life-giving truth of the Word of God. And this is the basis for our confidence. This is the basis for our hope. This is the basis for our strength. We're going to look at Psalm 37 together. I know some of you may be in the car 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and, oh, man, I'm only going to hear part of it, and you really want to hear more. Well, we're going to cover this basically over about a 50-minute period. So whatever you're able to get, great. Maybe you're on a long ride. Maybe you're sitting at home listening. But otherwise, if you miss any part, go to my website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, and just click on latest audio, and you can listen to it straight through. Now, the attribution just begins with the Hebrew words, Lidavid, meaning of David. It could mean for David. It could have been something written for a Davidic collection of Psalms, but the normal understanding is it is of David, meaning by David, that he wrote it. And of course, he had great fame in Israel and in ancient Jewish history as the great psalmist. So we are being instructed with the superscription to read this as a psalm of David. And the opening Hebrew words, al titchar, they're translated different ways. New Jewish version, don't be vexed. Complete Jewish Bible, don't be upset. NIV, ESV, do not fret. Other translations like that. And you may be familiar with the classic James, fret not thyself. Do not be agitated. That's the sense of it. Don't get all worked up by evildoers, by wicked people. And do not be envious or incensed by workers of iniquity, by wrongdoers. You know, it's so much evil in the world, so much taking place that's wrong, that's destructive, so much that can be upsetting. And, oh, when's God going to act? And here's what the psalm says. For they soon will wither like grass, like spring flowers, like green plants, they'll soon die away. Even though we see monstrous evil taking place in the world, and even though there's been monstrous evil for generations, the psalmist is saying they will be cut down. They will be cut off. There will be an end. Sometimes there's a sudden end in front of our eyes. I remember new believers, we had helped lead them to the Lord or got to know them brand new in the Lord. It's so far back, I don't remember exactly how we met, except they were a very fragile couple. I remember Nancy and I spending time with them, and there was somebody who was really out to do them evil. And I remember we met with our pastor. I remember where we stood on Long Island in Oceanside, outside of the building that we had then, our two locations, one in Queens and one on Long Island. And I remember the pastor felt to pray against this person who was really trying to do evil to them, and the person suddenly died. Well, that doesn't happen all the time. And obviously, our goal is to see them repent and come to salvation. But ultimately, the psalmist is saying, in the end, they're going to be cut down. I live with constant confidence, even if there is defeat today. I live with constant confidence, even if there is disappointment today, because I know in the end, the will of God will triumph. I know in the end, justice will come. And that's what matters, the final end. Verse 3 exhorts us, trust in the Lord and do good. And to Israel, abide in the land and remain loyal. Some would translate, feed on faithfulness or enjoy safe pasture. the Hebrew could be translated a couple of different ways, but the sense of it is clear. Just put your own roots down and just honor God and do what's right and trust Him. But it's going crazy around us. I know. Trust Him. But there's so much instability. I know. Put your own roots down by doing good. But Christians are fleeing. I know. Very difficult times. But ultimately, God will cause His ways to triumph for His people. And then a very famous promise in Scripture. And it says this, delight yourself in the Lord. Take your exquisite delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. When you take your delight in Him, when He's your all in all, attitudes of vindictiveness, attitudes of hate, attitudes of selfishness, attitudes of greed, they'll disappear. So I'd ask whatever I want. Oh, when you're in that place, what you ask will be in harmony with the will of God. It's just like what Jesus says in John 15:7, that if we abide in Him and His words abide in us, if we remain united with Him and His words are stored up in our hearts, then we ask whatever we will and it'll be done because we're in harmony with Him. We're asking according to His will, and what we're praying brings Him glory and honor. Oh, the wicked are going to fade. Look, I think sometimes of the lifestyles of the rich and famous. And this guy can have any lady that he wants. And this gal has all the money anyone could ever ask for. And this one has a power that I never, never envy him. I never think, oh, man, if we had that kind of money. Oh, I think, yeah, what we could do with the gospel. But I don't envy them. I don't envy, well, they're this, they're that, they're pampered. No, I feel bad for them. Especially if they don't know the Lord. If they know the Lord, hopefully they're not caught up in the things of this world and they're living godly lives. But if they don't know the Lord, I pity them. And I think, what? What do you have all that for? It's worthless. What's it going to do you in the end? And if you're just feeding the flesh, who needs it? Psalm 37:5. Commit your way to the Lord. In Hebrew, it's literally roll upon the Lord your way. Just take everything, thoughts, desires, plans. Roll it on Him. Roll it off yourself. Roll it on Him. And then a great open-ended verse in Hebrew, V'tach alav v'hu yaseh, and trust in Him. He'll do it. He'll do it. He'll act. Do what? What needs to be done? The action that needs to be taken. That you throw everything on Him and honor Him, and He will do what needs to be done. Count on it. May not happen in an instant, may go through some disappointment along the way, but this is a long-term psalm. If you're just tuning in, we're diving into Psalm 37 together. And then it says, do you mind if I read the Hebrew? I just have it in front of me. Vehotzicha or tzitecha. So He'll cause your righteousness or your vindication to shine like the light. He'll bring it forth like the light of Mishpatecha. And the justice of your case, it's literally your justice, like the noonday sun. You know, I've had over the years times when people came against me in the Lord. I've made mistakes. People have come against me because I've made mistakes. But there have been times when I've been in the right, I've gotten maligned, I've gotten slandered, I've gotten misrepresented, I've gotten hurt. And I knew that I was right in God's sight. And I remember many years ago, some folks had come against me. And I had some older friends that knew me. And they said to these folks, don't come against Mike because God's with him. In other words, they knew my heart was set on serving God and that these folks were coming against me in a wrong way. And you know, as the years went on, my heart became, how can I serve them more effectively? How can I be a blessing to them rather than how can I prove myself right? And as the years went on, I became an esteemed friend and colleague to these very people who once opposed me. And the great blessing, we can partner together for the gospel and I can be a blessing to them. Oh, I've seen it so many times that I know if my heart is right with God, that those who are attacking worldly people or people in the church, that in the end, I'm only going to feel bad for them because God will vindicate. Bank on it. Bank on it. If your hands are clean and your heart is pure, honor the Lord and commit your cause to Him. Verse 7. I'll read from the ESV. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. It's not fair. You Hefner, I mean, he opened up the floodgates of immorality, sexual immorality in America in so many ways. And what is he, in his 80s? And he's got all these buxom blondes. And poor guy. Poor lost guy. When he stands before God, lost. Nothing in me whatsoever wants to be anywhere near being in his shoes, past, present, or future. Don't fret. Don't fret over those who do evil and seem to prosper in their way. It's going to be cut down before you know it. A lot more of Psalm 37 coming your way today on a special broadcast right here on The Line of Fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are continuing our journey through Psalm 37, just a day to step back and get refreshed in the Word of God. If you miss any of this broadcast today, which is about 50 minutes or so of exposition, go to AskDrBrown.org, click on Latest Audio to listen. You know, different parts of Scripture have different feels to them, if you know what I mean. Some of you see and read Scripture and feel it differently, but to me, there's been this, always about Psalm 37, this sense of clean simplicity. Even the way the Hebrew reads, there's just a certain cleanness of truth that, you breathe it in and your perspective changes. And even if the world around you seems the same, things really do change. And there's a constant theme of the psalm. Repeat it. So verse 8, Psalm 37, verse 8. And it's urging us, don't, I'm going to get this wrong. I'm furious. No. As Martin Luther King said, darkness doesn't drive out darkness. Hatred doesn't drive out hate. There is a righteous anger against sin and against injustice, but it's totally different from human vengeance, retaliation, vindictiveness. So when you see evil prospering, instead of just, it's one thing to want to see justice and work against injustice, but the attitude of the heart, if you get all worked up, it's not going to help. So Psalm 37, 8, Hebrew, I'll read some Hebrew here and there. Heref me'af va'azov chema. So give up anger. Abandon fury, New Jewish version. Al titchara ach lahara. Again, the same word, al titchara. It starts at the beginning of the psalm. Don't be vexed. Don't fret. It can only do harm. It's only going to hurt the cause. You know, it's like, give a really basic analogy in sports. Somebody gets so mad they start a fight in the midst of the game, and then they get kicked out of the game and it hurts the whole team. What good did it do? Verse 9. Again, the reminder. Ki mereim yikretun, because the evildoers will be cut off. V'kovei Adonai hemi yishu'aretz. But those who put their trust in the Lord, those who wait for the Lord, the national anthem of Israel, HaTikvah, comes from the hope. It comes from this root kava, to wait for, to hope in. So to wait for with expectation. Those who put their hope in the Lord, who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land and ultimately can be looked at as the whole world, a promise to Israel, and then by expansion, a promise for the righteous to the whole world. Oh yeah, this is not for tomorrow. It's the ultimate. When you know the ultimate, your attitude is changed for today, isn't it? Verse 10, a little longer, and there will be no more wicked man. You look where he was, he'll be gone. You say, a little longer, I mean, that's 3,000 years ago. Yeah, but this repeats itself often through history. Someone once observed that here you have Nero, the great power of his day, and Paul, the lowly prisoner. And Nero, according to what we know of historical sources, has Paul beheaded. Think of who has power over who. Think of who is the exalted one then. Mighty Nero, ruler of Rome, the great majestic empire of Rome. Lowly Jewish prisoner, believer in Jesus. Cut his head off. And someone observed that the day has come when Paul named their people named their sons Paul and named their dogs Nero. Yeah, radical changes do come. Be patient. All I want to know is the final score. All I want to know is the final outcome, and that will give me hope and courage for today. And then the famous verse 11, maybe you've never heard it in Hebrew, I'll read it to you. V'anavim yirshu aretz, and the lowly, the meek, will inherit the land. V'hit agnu arov shalom, and they will take exquisite delight. They will delight themselves, literally, of the abundance of peace and well-being. Oh, it's going to work out like that one day. And the violent and the hateful and the immoral and the destructive, they will be no more. And those who honored the Lord with humility, with meekness, and did not repay evil with evil, they will inherit the land. Ah, the wicked man, verse 12, he schemes against the righteous, and he gnashes his teeth. Ah, he's mad and angry. I'm going to get you. I'm going to kill you. And they do work out acts of destruction, and they do harm. What's God doing? Verse 13, the Lord laughs at him, for he knows that his day will come. This person could threaten, they can yell, they can scream, they're going to go down. They're going to go down. God is not perturbed by their threats, and even in the midst of pain and hardship we may go through, we should have that same attitude as the Lord does. Verse 14, the wicked draw their swords, bend their bows to bring down the lowly and needy, to slaughter upright men, and they do it. They often do it, but ultimately, their swords will pierce their own hearts, and their bows will be broken. Their bows will be smashed. In the end, let me say it again, it's going to turn around. You ever watch some dramatic movie or series, and there's a good guy and a bad guy, and you know, however bad it gets, that the good guy's going to win. And it colors everything, doesn't it? You know, oh, I remember, and I may just pause here for a moment. Remember, to any part of this that you miss, or to get the rest of my exposition of Psalm 37, go to my website, AskDrBrown.org, and just click on Latest Audio, and you can listen right to it straight through. And, of course, it's all free for you there. But I took the grandkids to a movie one time, and most all the movies we've been to are animated movies, cartoon movies. The great majority of them have been that. And So we went, and let's say, maybe it was 2 years ago, let's say, our oldest granddaughter, it would have been 11 then, and our grandson, 8, that are here near us where we live. Towards the end, it looked like, oh no, it's going to be a really sad ending. And the dad is going to get separated from his family. I mean, he did a heroic thing, kind of redeemed himself, some of the family's eyes, but now he's separated from them. And Eliana, our granddaughter, and I, we were both thinking the same thing. Nah, it's a children's cartoon. It can't end like that. That's the hope I encourage you to have, that God will vindicate his name and vindicate his people in the end. And that even with a loss today, I live with hope for tomorrow. All right, if you didn't hear this yesterday, two of the most important debates I ever did. One, packed house, New York City Hilton, Rabbi Shmuley, right before the Passion of the Christ movie came out, who really killed Jesus? And then Dr. James White, Southern Evangelical Seminary, Predestination, Election, the Will of God. The debates, the DVDs are only $20 plus postage. Get them now, $25 for both. Postage paid, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978, or right on the website, the homepage, ask DrBrown.org. Oh, Psalm 37 is amazing.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Save the nation. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to the line of fire. Michael Brown here. I just felt, as I was praying and thinking about today's broadcast, I just want to get into the Word with you and bathe you with the truth of the Word on this Tuesday, a day where we devote to teaching theological controversies, different things like that, apologetics. Today, Psalm 37. It's interesting. Is it attributed to David, who was certainly a man of war? David was certainly one who fought battles, and yet ultimately he knew that there's suffering in this world. Ultimately, he knew that people get mistreated. Ultimately, he knew that many people are cut down by the wicked. The wicked seem to prosper, and the righteous are cut down. Well, how is that fair? And his counselors, don't get worked up. Don't fight back with human anger. Wait and let the Lord work. Remember David and Saul? Remember what happened? How David refused to retaliate against Saul, and even when he did the slightest thing to humiliate, he had to apologize for that. And ultimately, it's tragic. Saul dies in battle, a tragic figure as he dies, and David is raised up as a hero in Israelite history. And even with David's serious blemishes, he's still revered. He truly repented, and he's still revered. And as far as those who walk this earth outside of Jesus, his name is mentioned more than anyone else in the Bible, more than 1,000 times. So he says the wicked, they're plotting against the righteous, they're gnashing their teeth and pull out their swords, but ultimately the swords will pierce their own hearts. Every image that you see online of Muslim terrorists beheading people, killing people, shooting people, yes, it's terrible suffering. If these people know the Lord, they're going to be with the Lord and their reward will be great. But those who are doing the murdering, just remember, it's going to turn on them. And it's going to be a dreadful, horrific day for them. So what is the counsel here? Psalm 37:16, Tov ma'at latzadik, better the little that a righteous person has. Doesn't say that a righteous person is always going to be impoverished and never have anything. But saying, hey, you may be lowly in society, in this world, you may be poor, you may have little. Better the little that a righteous person has, may hamon reshaim rabim, than the great abundance of the wicked, or the wealth of all of the wicked. Better. Why? Because that righteous person is blessed and the others are not. Hey, who has more marital instability? Is it the rich and famous, or is it the godly couple who doesn't have a lot? Who has more suicides? Who has more kids with problems? You may be blessed and you may be prosperous. The point is, when people are wicked, you look at the lives of the wicked, and then you compare that to the lives of the righteous and say, who would you rather be? Would you rather be the righteous person who doesn't have much in this world, or would you rather be the wicked person who has everything? Who would you rather be? Who is truly blessed? Who has a legacy for the future? Psalm 37:17, for the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord is the support. It's literally support of V'somech tzadikim Adonai. But the Lord supports, he upholds the righteous. Look, I know sometimes it seems that the odds are stacked against godly people, especially in many countries where there's terrible persecution. But the godly, you want to be among the godly. Their heritage and their legacy is rich. And ultimately, they'll be able to speak with David and say, the Lord was my support. The Lord was my strength. The Lord sustained. And whatever we do not have in this world will be more than made up for in the world to come. In fact, the world to come will happen right here on this earth as God's heavenly kingdom comes down and we serve him and enjoy him forever.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, are you ready to dive right back into Psalm 37 with me, Michael Brown? Going through the whole psalm on the broadcast today. Any part you've missed, we're now getting into verse 18 of Psalm 37. Go to askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, and just click on latest audio later today, later this Tuesday, and you'll be able to listen to it all. And I've been reading from different translations and sometimes just translating the Hebrew afresh. Here's what we need to remember. Psalm 37, 18. Yodea Adonai Yimei Timimim. It is literally the Lord knows the days of the blameless. What does it mean he knows that? What it's talking about, he absolutely understands what you are going through, and he is caring for you. The Hebrew know, speaking of an intimate involvement. So literally, King James, the Lord knoweth the days of the upright. But other translations, CSB, the Lord watches over the blameless all their days. ESV, the Lord knows the days of the blameless. NET, the Lord watches over the innocent day by day. NIV, the blameless spend their days under the Lord's care. New Jewish Version, the Lord is concerned for the needs of the blameless, v'nachlatam lo'olam tihyeh, and their inheritance lasts forever. So if I know that God is good, to the core of my being, I am sure that God is good. And if to the core of my being, I have put my trust in him, I don't mean in a perfect, flawless human way, but I mean really who you are. Who you are, the core of your being. You're a believer. You know you are if you are, and you've put your trust in him. You may have wavered, but you are a believer. You want to follow him, and you know that he's good. No matter what happens, you know that he's good. And if you know he has his eye on you, then you can really be at peace. You can really be at peace. Yeah, I don't have an answer now. My child died. We prayed and fasted for weeks. My child died. We went bankrupt. We lost everything. Yeah, terrible things, hellish things. Difficulties arise that sometimes are beyond our human capacity to bear, and yet that's when you often hear the most dramatic testimonies. I've asked so many people who prayed and prayed for a miracle of healing or deliverance, and it didn't happen, and yet in the days and weeks and months that followed, they said there was absolutely no doubt that God sustained them and helped them and even worked miracles on their behalf. All I need to know is God saying to me, so to say, I don't have to hear the audible voice, but just know he's saying, hey, Mike, son, got my eye on you. Got my eye on you. Got everything's under control. Trust me. With that holy divine wink, so to say. And you can rest. You can rest. All right, let's keep going. Verse 19. They will not come to grief in bad times. In famine, they shall eat their fill. You say, yeah, but it doesn't always seem to line up like that. Trust him even if it doesn't seem to line up like that, because God has a way of helping those who put their trust in him. And God has a way, in the end, when you look back, like, how did that work out? Or it didn't look like it worked out. He can still show you how he's been faithful in the midst of it. And it's talking about ultimacies. It's talking about in the end. Verse 20. For the wicked will perish. The Lord's enemies will be like fat sheep, ending up as smoke, finished. The New Jewish Version, the wicked shall perish. The enemies of the Lord shall be consumed like meadow grass consumed in smoke. That it, the constant reminder of the fate of the wicked. Yeah, but what they do is not right. Verse 21, the wicked borrows but doesn't pay back. But the righteous is generous and gives. Yeah, but look, they have so much money. These wicked people, they're extorting us, and they're taking money, and they're doing it, getting the money from the poor. Yeah, it's true. I don't want to be in their shoes. They may have a certain advantage. They may have a temporary advantage, but oh, you don't want to be in their shoes, because it's all going to come down badly. And the wicked who seem to prosper through their wickedness, The day will come when they will wish they could amend their ways, but it will be too late. So what do? We do the opposite. The righteous is generous and gives. The righteous is generous and gives. Verse 22. Those who are blessed by the Lord shall inherit the end, but the land, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. So if I know that spiritually speaking, as I give, I'm putting money in an eternal bank. If I know, spiritually speaking, as I do good and bless others, even if I don't immediately get blessed in return, that I am, again, spiritually speaking, putting money in the bank with massive interest, it's worth it. It's worth it. You know, sometimes I just think to myself, let the mockers mock. Let people hate and scorn. Let them do it. And I feel bad for them. Radical Muslims cursing us and violent acts against our brothers and sisters in different parts of the world. Our brothers and sisters, even though they go through terrible hardship, ultimately God will be with them. And ultimately, they'll be richly rewarded in the world to come. The wicked will suffer terribly. Therefore, let the wicked be wicked. Oh, yeah, we stand for righteousness, and when we can oppose wickedness, we do, but not just in angry, fleshly emotion, where I'm talking about personal retaliation, no. And then Psalm 37, verse 23. The King James, I memorized Psalm 37 as a new believer, but the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. But you see in the King James, the word good is in italics, meaning that is not in the original Hebrew. So that was supplied to try to bring sense to the passage, but it doesn't say good. What it says is this, that the steps of a man are made firm by the Lord or ordered by the Lord when he delights in his way. See, the King James, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord and he delighteth in his way. It should be understood that the one who's delighting is that the Lord is delighting in this person's life. It could be that when the godly person delights in God's way, but when it's talking about ways, it's really speaking about us. So, and he delighteth in his way. So that's the Lord. The Lord delights in that person's way. That's the one. He makes his steps firm. He makes his steps established. When God delights in your way, when God delights in the way you are living before him, he will establish your steps and make them firm. Verse 24, oh, what a wonderful verse. Ki pol lo yutal. Though he stumbles, though he falls, he won't be cast down. He won't fall headlong. Ki Adonai somech yado. There again is that somech. The Lord supports him. The Lord holds his hand, gives him support. What a picture. You may stumble, but you're not going to fall headlong because God's got you, grabbed your hand. You ever have that? You start to fall and somebody grabs you, and it could be worse if somebody grabs you. That's what saying God does here. He holds you up. He holds you up. And there's more. It doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. Verse 25. What a classic word. This is on the lips of David according to the superscription of the psalm. Na'ar hayiti, gam zakanti. I've been young, now I am old. V'lo hayiti tzadik ne'azav. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. V'zara'o v'makesh lachem, or his seed begging bread, his children begging bread. In other words, there is a legacy. There is a legacy, and God comes through. You say, when I look at history, doesn't always play out like that. Rather than trying to figure out everything that has ever happened, because we just don't have all the answers, best to live according to the psalm and put your trust in him. And you, like David, will be able to say, yes, 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 it has come to pass as God spoke. Verse 26, now speaking of the righteous, all day long he's generous and he lends. And there again, his children, his offspring, his seed, his children are blessed. He's generous today. He honors God today. He lives in a righteous way today. He's not like, oh, I'm not going to, they're wicked, they're coveting, they're hoarding, so I'm going to reap it. No, no, no. Open-handed, generous, giving. Not only is he blessed, his offspring, his children. In fact, I hope I can get to a fascinating thing, if you've never heard it, about Jonathan Edwards and his offspring, his legacy. Hope I can get that in as we return and finish up Psalm 37 right here on the Line of Fire. Special broadcast just to build you up and edify you in the Word. Once again, any part you missed, go to the website, askdrbrown.org, and click on Latest Audio, and make sure you take advantage of special resource offers we have. Their resource offers we have, and click on Latest Audio, Video, Blog, Article to see what's been put out day by day to serve and bless you. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, we are finishing up Psalm 37. Any part you missed, go to AskDrBrown.org and just click on Latest Audio to listen to it later today. Verse 28, words of encouragement to God's people. For the Lord loves justice. He will not forsake his saints, his holy ones, his faithful ones. They are preserved forever, but the children of the wicked shall be cut off. Again, keep focusing on the ultimate. Keep focusing on the end outcome. Verse 29, the righteous shall inherit the land and abide forever in it, a promise to Israel for the physical land of Israel, a promise to the godly for the whole world. And you say, has that helped me today? That's what you've got to take hold of. The promise of tomorrow being supernaturally, wonderfully blessed, and you want to be in the shoes of the righteous, and you absolutely do not want to be in the shoes of the wicked, no matter how powerful, how rich, how famous they seem to be. Look at the ultimate. And then heaven, hell, being with the Lord forever, being lost forever. Come on. Verse 30, the mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks what is right. Verse 31, the teaching of God, Torah Elohav, so Torah, the teaching, instruction, the divine law, that's in his heart. His feet do not slip. Why? Because he's stable in God. He's got the word in his heart, on his lips, in his mind. The wicked watches for the righteous, verse 32, seeking to put him to death. Always plotting, always wanting to destroy. The Lord will not abandon him to his power. He will not let him be condemned in judgment. There will be a standing for the righteous, either in this world or the world to come. There'll be a standing for the righteous, either in this generation or the generation to come, so that at the end of this world, everyone will be able to read Psalm 37 and say, God, it came out, it played out just the way you said it would. Verse 34, look to the Lord, so put your trust in him, wait for him, and keep to his way, and he will raise you high that you may inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. You will see the demise of evil men. As surely as I am sitting here speaking these words to you from Psalm 37, bank on it, count on it, it's going to happen. David says, verse 35, I saw a wicked man, or I've seen a wicked man, powerful, well-rooted like a robust native tree. Man, this guy's not going anywhere. This man's, he's got deep roots. He's established. Everything is going his way. But David says, suddenly he vanished and was gone. I saw him, but he was not to be found. Cut down, because wickedness ultimately will not be established. And then, verse 37, haven't read the Hebrew in a while, I'll do it again. Shmar tam, re'eh yashar. So, mark, pay careful attention to, take note of the blameless person. And look at the upright, ki acharit, Ish Shalom. Oh, if you've never listened to my message on Acharit, the final consequences of sin and righteousness, just go to my website and just search, put in the words the end or Acharit, A-C-H-A-R-I-T. The King James says, mark the perfect man, behold the upright man, for the end of that man is peace. It's not the best way to translate it. It's better. There is an acharit. There is a future hope for the man of peace, the man of shalom, the man of integrity. Some would translate it, though, for the future of that man is shalom. Oh. Watch, look at the lives over a period of decades, generations, and decide who you want to emulate. On the contrary, transgressors shall be utterly destroyed. The future, the acharit of the wicked, boom, will be cut off. Who has the future? The godly, the righteous. Who has no future? The wicked. Verse 39. The deliverance, the salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord, their stronghold in time of trouble. Verse 40. The Lord helps them and rescues them from the wicked and delivers them, for they seek refuge in him. Ki chasu vo. They put their trust in him. They hide in him. They seek refuge in him. Talk about legacies. There was a study that was done about 150 years after the death of Jonathan Edwards. He was the greatest philosopher, theologian of the 18th century in America, the 1700s, a leader in the Great Awakening, the first Great Awakening, married to his wife Sarah for 30 years. They had three sons, eight daughters. Check this out. A pastor and educator named A.E. Winship found out that he learned about another gentleman who was looking at prison population and so on, and was struck that one man that they gave the name of Max Jukes to, that from his family trees, 42 different men in the New York prison system traced back to him. What? A legacy of destruction. A legacy of sin. So A.E. Winship decided to look at Jonathan Edwards and trace his offspring about 150 years after his death. So this is what he found. The descendants of Jonathan Edwards included one U.S. vice president. That's not bad. Three U.S. senators, three governors, three mayors, 13 college presidents, 30 judges, 65 professors, 80 public office holders, 100 lawyers, 100 missionaries. The legacy of the man they called Max Jukes. Seven murders, 60 thieves, 50 women of debauchery, 130 other convicts, and then, oh, where is my missing page here? Here we go. 310 paupers with over 2,300 years lived in poorhouses. Between them, 400 who were physically wrecked by indulgent living. Max Jukes, you know, maybe, man they call Max Jukes, maybe he thrived. You know, Jonathan Edwards, he took a smallpox vaccine as a test, and he died as a result of it. What was he, in his 50s? But look at the legacy. Look at the legacy. Look at what was left behind. Live with confidence today. Your tomorrow is blessed more than you could ever imagine. All right. We've been announcing yesterday, now today. I am so excited about this debate I did with my friend Rabbi Shmuley. It was then our second debate. We were just getting to know each other. We've become close friends since then. We've done a previous debate. Let's just say there wasn't a lot of friendship in the air or extended towards me that time. Shmuley reached out to me afterwards, a couple years later. We became friends, but that was just starting then, and it's an awesome debate. Who really killed Jesus? Oh, the atmosphere was electric. It was an amazing night. And then with that DVD, it's only $20 plus postage, my debate with Dr. James White, one of the top apologists in the world, as we debate Calvinism, predestination, election, you'll learn so much from it as we come together and do it. That's $20, but you get both, $25 postage paid. Call 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Once more, 1-800-278-9978. 278-9978 or at the website AskDrBrown.org. My bottom line today, read Psalm 37 out loud. Read it on your knees. Every word of it is true. Live by it.